Hey everyone, it's Billy Morrison and Ozzy Osbourne here. Our new show, The Madhouse Chronicles, is dropping this April. Join us as we watch and react to the maddest internet clips. What do we discuss, Ozzy?
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, all that kind of shit.
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, and all that kinds of shit. Visit osbournemediahouse.com for early access. What do you say? Do you think it's the wildest show on the internet?
You're in the madhouse now.
If you want to pump your body and expand your mind, there's only one place to go. Mind Pump. Mind Pump. With your hosts, Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews.
You just found the most downloaded fitness, health, and entertainment podcast. This is Mind Pump. Right in today's episode, we answered listeners' questions after a 60-minute intro portion. This is where we talk about fitness, current events, family life, scientific studies, and much more. By the way, you can check the show notes for timestamps if you want to skip around your favorite parts. Also, if you want to ask us a question that we might answer for you or pick from, go to Instagram at Mind Pump Media. That's where you can post your question that we can potentially pick from. Now, this episode is brought to you by some sponsors. The first one is Juve. This is red light therapy for your home. So they have big panels, medium panels. They have really small panels called the Juve Go. Red light therapy improves the health of your skin. It boosts collagen production. Also regrows hair. Also boosts testosterone. Today's episode, we talked about Doug's testosterone readings after using the Juve light consistently. And it's legit, by the way, backed up by many, many studies. Go to juve.com. That's juve.com/mindpump. Use the code mindpump. Get $50 off your first purchase. This episode is also brought to you by LMNT. They make an electrolyte powder that is not artificially sweetened. There's no sugar. And it has the right amount of sodium to power you through your workouts. I have a full packet before my workouts every single morning. And I get much better pumps and performance as a result. Go check them out. And if you go through our link, you'll get a free sample pack with any order. Go to drinklmnt.com/mindpump. Also, the program sale this month. MAPS Anabolic is half off. And MAPS Anabolic Advanced is also half off. You can find them both at mapsfitnessproducts.com, but you have to use the code MARCH50 for the discount. All right, here comes the show. If you just realize that you may be doing too much in your workouts, in other words, you need to scale back, do so in this order. First, scale back intensity. If that doesn't work, scale back volume. If that doesn't work, then scale back the frequency. That's the order most people should scale back when they're trying to reduce the total load on their body.
Do you have a intensity? I think we all agree for sure is number one.
You got to be first. Yeah, that's just make your stuff easier.
Right? Yeah, intensity first.
So, and I think that almost always honestly solves the problem, because I think you can handle the same volume.
I mean, technically you can make it, you can reduce the intensities to a point you can almost solve for any of it.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think that's like the for sure. Now, let's say you do have somebody, because you recognize that they're overdoing it volume-wise, too. It's just like, that's just too much. Mm-hmm. There's no reason for you to be doing 52 sets a workout, 6 days a week or whatever. Is there a typical – because volume is the, you know, the total of sets, reps times weight. Is there just an easier thing to tell a client? Because you tell a client volume, the average person doesn't know what that means.
They have no idea.
What does that mean? So do you just go like, what I want you to do is look at your workout and cut out like a set of every exercise. Yeah, is that an easier way to do it?
I used to cut down a third of the sets, but now I go down to half. So when I would identify with my clients that they were maybe overdoing it or whatever, I would always back off half the volume, because when you're coming out of overtraining or overdoing it, you have to make up a little ground. It's not like you just go back to the appropriate volume. You got to give the body enough time to catch up. So I would always go to half. So I said, whatever, you know, if you're doing, you know, 15 sets in a workout, well, I only want you to do 7 or 8 at most, you know, type of deal.
Well, plus then you can gauge whether or not that was really the case.
That's right.
Yeah.
So that's right.
Otherwise, yeah, it's just like you're barely kind of moving the needle.
And then frequency, like, I mean, you could work out a little bit every day for often, not for everybody, but oftentimes helps with the recovery process.
Yeah.
Just a little bit of movement.
Yeah.
You know?
How often do you think people are too extreme in both directions? Meaning inconsistent. So they don't train. They missed 7 days in a row.
Oh.
And then they train a day.
Mm-hmm. And they try to over correct.
Yes. Then they over intensity or over volume, And then they miss again 5 days in a row. Then they do it again. Or maybe they get 3 days in a row of like super high intensity. Then they.
You just described most people that yeah. have trouble staying consistent.
I mean, I would say athletes are most guilty for that. If they've been like long periods of time without training consistently, then you want to get back into it. It's like full blown, like full acceleration and not really like a gradual approach at all.
I bring this up because I think this gets misunderstood when we talk about this sometimes, because I think we're always kind of preaching this message about people yeah. like over applying intensity and telling them like start less, build on it, stuff like that. And I think the average person in their head goes, yeah, but I haven't been consistent for good even point. 30 days, Sal.
So I can go super hard.
Yeah. So I definitely, yeah. I'm not overdoing it. No. I only trained 6 days this week. No, this month.
That's the irony. The irony is, or the what's interesting about this is the more consistent you are, all being appropriate, okay, yeah. the more consistent you are, the more volume you tend to be able to handle. In other yeah. words, think of it this way. Fit people can do more and be okay with it than people who aren't fit. So if you're not working out much.
Yeah, the body's more conditioned to be able to handle that kind of load.
The damage on one intense set, you take somebody who's sedentary, you take someone off the street who doesn't work out at all, and I do a set of squats to failure, one, we've overdone it.
Yeah.
And they'll know, they'll feel it
yeah, for a couple days. For a few days, yeah.
Just one set, you know? So think of it, the way I would always explain it, and I've said this on the show often, is think of the body improving as a form of adaptation, which it is, and it's no different than your skin getting darker in response to the sun. So if you never go out in the sun and you want to get a tan, you don't go get a sunburn. That's not going to give you a tan. It's going to give you blisters. You got to expose yourself appropriately.
I used to think that.
Regularly. Did you really? That you get a sunburn, you get there
yeah,
faster?
Yeah, I'm like, oh yeah, because you know, being in the summer, you know, I was always like, it was always at the very end of the summer, I had like a little bit of a shade darker. It wasn't even
by
like.
By the end?
Yeah, by the very end. I'm like, man, maybe if I get ahead of it this time. And then it just, it gets to the point where I'm like just red, pink all over with like white freckles instead of brown ones. I probably have skin cancer.
Did you get sunburn every summer?
I mean, it was likely I would be sunburned first thing. I learned probably about the third or fourth time I've done that I was like, okay, I'm gonna like wait at least, you know, till like, yeah, it does it naturally.
My mom, so although my mom's Sicilian, she's light complected. So I get my complexion from my dad. And we went to Sicily years, long time ago, and we all went to the beach. And she didn't put sunscreen on her feet, but she put them everywhere else. And we were outside. And my mom's like, she could be pretty white. Oh, blisters, dude.
Yeah.
Ugh. She got blisters on her feet from the sunburn. So. Yeah. But again, you don't get tan any faster. And it's just like that with exercise. It's the right dose will get you there the fastest, and that's what people understand. But I wanted to list these in order of importance because people, when they think of scaling back. The what's interesting is when someone says, oh, I need to like reduce things because I might be overtraining, they typically don't reduce the intensity. They just do less, but yes. they still apply the same intensity.
That's why I brought that point up yeah. because I think a lot of times people hear us say that and they don't think that this could be them.
Intensity does the most damage.
Because they haven't been consistent for even a month. So they think, oh, that's not me. I'm not overdoing anything. But it's like, actually, you are. You're a bigger culprit of this because not only are you not being consistent with the days that you show up, the few days a month you do show up, you overdo it. And it's just like you're spinning your wheels at that point. It's like your body is just trying to recover. And then you add in another variable. Those tend to also be the people that like, oh, that's the week they cut way back on their calories. Mm-hmm. So they overtrain. They underfeed them.
Which makes you more susceptible. So
the recovery is even,
So the recovery sucks. They probably didn't build any muscle from it. And it's just like, I mean, and you wonder why so many people get so frustrated and go like, why? Like, yeah. and that's why I feel like there's such a divide in our society of like people that work out, fitness people, and then people that have just chosen like, I don't want to do all that.
Yeah.
Like,
because it sucks. Yeah, it hurts. It sucks. It doesn't work. Yeah. I worked out real hard.
I got to sacrifice so much. You got to put so much effort in for such little results. Yep. It's like, it sounds terrible.
But I mean, if I were given a challenge and someone were to say, what's the fastest way to overtrain someone? Intensity. I could overtrain somebody with intensity very quickly. With volume and frequency would take a lot longer. The body can handle those two things with appropriate intensity at much higher levels.
I also think it's an area that even with lots of experience and expertise in this field, it's still a tough thing to gauge. Mm-hmm. Like I mean, I don't know. I don't know who out of us. I would think I'm one of the more inconsistent ones out of all of us, like at least at this period of my life and so like that, as far as like consistently training in the, mm-hmm. in the weeks. And so I have a lot of these like, oh, I didn't train for a week, you know, and coming back to it. Now I haven't gone very long, like weeks or months of not getting any sessions in, but literally just falling off my, you know, my normal volume of, let's say, three times a week down to once or twice, or having a week off and coming back. It's a trip. I just came off of that a while ago, and I was like, you know what? Like, I'm just not in the mood to get after squats today. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to do some stuff I haven't done in a long time. Real, real low intensity. Like, I got this suspension trainer. I put a box real low, and I lowered myself.
Nice full range of motion.
Yes.
Oh, I mean, you got like, sore.
One leg at a time, just sitting at five reps, you know, on each side.
And you got sore.
Yeah. Yeah. And I literally did three sets of that, five and five on each side, support from the suspension trainer, body weight, pistols. Down real slow, getting up, and I was just really just concentrating on technique. And I'm like, okay, we'll see how I was sore the next day. Now I wasn't crippling. I thought I did a pretty good job of gauging that.
That's all you needed, though.
But that's all I needed. Yeah. And that was my point, is like, wow, like so many more times I would have walked in and been like, I'll just do like three sets of 225 for, you know, eight, and that'll be fine.
That's majority of the time is way less than you think.
Yes.
It's so funny too. And if people only knew, like the best progress I ever make with my workouts, and this was what my clients do, is when I didn't get sore. When I'm training hard and I'm not getting sore, I'm like, oh yeah, I'm hitting the right amount.
It took me a long time to understand that. It took me a really long time.
I thought I wasted my time.
Yeah, the longest time, I measured the success of the workout by how sore I was. And if I didn't get sore from that, then
you know, the first time I figured that out was when a long time ago, I was researching, you know, bronze era, you know, strength athlete workouts. And I noticed they all trained, and they all looked phenomenal. This was before steroids, before supplements. And I noticed they all trained full body, all of them, 3 days a week. That was a routine. And the feats of strength that they did were just unbelievable.
Yeah.
And then I read a book called Dinosaur Training, and then I read some other stuff. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to try full body 3 days a week instead of what at the time I was following, like your, you know, chest day, back day, whatever. And so that's what I did. And I had to scale the intensity down because I'm training everything 3 days a week. I couldn't go to failure or whatever like I was before. And so I started doing it. And I remember like I would do like a bench press on Monday, and Wednesday I'm going to do bench press again. And I'd show up and I'm like, well, I'm not that sore, but let me see. I just did it 2 days ago. I wonder if I fully recovered. 5 pounds stronger. I remember like that first week I got stronger so fast, and I went, uh-oh, mm-hmm. I think I might have been doing this wrong the whole time.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, I think that was part of, you know, going all the way back to the, you know, the inception of this business. And when you first sent over MAPS Anabolic, it was the limited amount of volume and the simplicity of the program that I was so like, oh, I was just at that point in my career where I was starting to figure that out. Like, less is more, sticking to a handful of really good exercises, not doing a ton of volume on it, hitting it three times a week. And that was like the way you had laid the program out. And I literally was just coming to that conclusion myself at that period of my training. And I'm like, this is like, nobody is talking about this ever. Like, it's the opposite of this right now. And I think that's why we had so much success, is so many other people were in that same mindset of training. And then I guarantee, and how often do we hear this when we first would release the program? Mm-hmm. Like, oh, it's not enough for this. Like,
all the time.
Yeah. Oh, this isn't enough. Like, it was like, oh, how did you follow it?
Yeah.
No, I don't even need to. I could tell this is not, or I did a workout. It's like, dude, follow it for 1 month. That's all I needed was 30 days from you. Give me 30 days of training like that, trusting the process, trusting the amount of volume that's in there, the boring exercises on there, and the proof was in the pudding. And then again, I think that's the people saw the result, and they saw so much results from that. I think that's where a lot of the credibility that we have and then the business was really, truly built on that. You know,
I remember those those comments. It was so funny. Hey, by the way, that study you sent me, I read it on babies and eggs.
Oh, yes. I'm so glad you're bringing that up.
So
super fascinating.
Babies that eat eggs.
Bro, yeah. So
I saw an article first. Sorry,
let me look at the ages. Let me get the ages correct.
I came across this article that said that they did this thing. They test this, and Sal can correct me what this real study said, but I just saw the first article, and it said that they did a group of babies that all they did, the only variable that changed was they gave them one egg a day, one more egg a day, and they followed these babies around. And within, I think, a year's time, they saw a 10 to 15% increase on IQ.
Yeah, difference.
Wow. Difference.
What? IQ difference.
Yeah.
That's significant.
That's significant.
That's significant.
And that's the only variable
that's average to smart.
That's the only variable that changed.
It's probably, now they say it might be, they had higher levels of DHA in their brain. So this is a fatty acid that you'll find in good quality eggs. But I think it had more to do with the choline, personally.
So I have a different theory.
Is it called nature's multivitamin?
Well, I think, and it's not necessarily opposite of what you're saying. It's just that I think it highlights how nutrient deficient we are as a society and how much processed stuff that we feed our kids.
Yes. Yeah.
And just by giving one of the most complete foods in an egg, that just because it has a nice balance of protein, healthy fats inside there, because of that, I think that showed such a significant.
If you want to give your baby a few things that's going to give them some like incredible nutrient density, you give them fish roe, and trust me, babies will actually eat this. We give this to my son when he was little, my daughter. So fish roe is amazing. What we're talking about now, whole eggs, incredible. Red meat, amazing. And avocados are good as well. Those foods right there, like they'll get so many nutrients from those that they lack and all the foods that – if you ever look at baby food and stuff that, you know, that are designed for babies, they're not very good.
No, it's just a fortified nutrients and sugar. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? It's not like real whole foods from real natural sources. And I think that's what I think a lot of people probably saw that and think that there's something magical about eggs. I think it's less, I think that's less of the point. I think more of the point is like, we feed our babies so much of this like kind of processed fast food, quick frozen type stuff, and they're missing. And because an egg is so complete, I think that's why you saw it. But I mean, wow! I mean, super motivation for Katrina and I. Like afterwards, I'm like, we're hard boiling a bunch of eggs, we're gonna like eat them together as a family and see if I can get Max to like.
I tell you what,
crave a whole egg a day.
What sucks for us like is say what?
Is IQ that increased?
Yeah, up to 15 points. So Aurelius, we've been giving him eggs since he was forever, always. Unfortunately, my baby, my one-year-old, if she eats eggs, she gets a little bit of eczema, so we can't give her eggs. So I'm trying to look for I tried in sardines. I'm trying different things.
Now, stay with that, too, because we had that same issue with Max. So we went away from eggs, and then we've not that long ago reintroduced it back, and he seems to be fine now. Good. Early on.
Yeah, they often outgrow it.
Yeah, early on, we noticed that he was getting these little rashes whenever, and so we're like, oh, shit, and he didn't really like it that much. Yep. So we went away from that for a long time. And then came back, I don't know how many, a year or two later, and reintroduced it. Now, unfortunately, we haven't trained him consistently enough to where that's what I want him to crave that for breakfast is the goal. And if I can't get him to crave it for breakfast, then I want to see if I can encourage him to eat hard-boiled eggs throughout the day or something. So that's the goal.
Well, what we did with the three-year-old is we now this doesn't work for my baby, but for our three-year-old, we parsed out egg whites from the egg yolks. Because when we first gave him eggs too, it was a little bit of a reaction. Oftentimes it's the white though, not the yolk.
Mm.
It's because the white is in the theory. Well, the white has antibodies in it because it's basically put in there to protect the yolk.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So if somebody reacts to eggs, if they do react to eggs, sometimes it's just the white and not the yolk.
Interesting.
So something else.
Well, that used to be you. You used to always eat all the.
Yeah. Now I can eat them all fully, but back in the day, I would just eat the yolks. You guys would see me. Nine or 10 over easy eggs. And I just cut out the.
Okay.
Yeah. Speaking of eggs, this reminded me of something. Doug was going over some numbers with me, his testosterone, and how. First off,
I don't even like talking about this.
I know. Why not, Adam? So much testosterone is ridiculous. I don't understand. I think it's your generation.
Because I think we're on our final years of people thinking that we're younger than Doug. Yeah, I think we're in our last, this is our last couple seasons.
Bro, he's like naturally on gear.
I'm not taking
it. Okay, so tell me how high were they?
So what was your highest reading before you started using the Juve regularly? Because you had HCG and I think you were supplementing with boron.
Right. So a couple years ago, I tested, I think, at 1,080. That was like a peak.
Total.
And that was at a time I was really working on my testosterone levels.
Yeah.
And then back, I just have some notes here. Back in November, I did another test through Transcend. My testosterone was 655.
So it had dropped.
It had dropped.
By the way, 655 is still high. So everybody knows, it's still a nice level.
Now, can you connect? Like, was it you put less effort towards it?
I just wasn't paying a lot of attention to it. Okay. And
you were probably stressing him out a lot or something.
Probably getting stressed out a lot.
Actually,
sure.
I think that was Sal around that time. Actually.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, there was a time there. I was like,
I think it was
pretty,
a lot of Sal, actually. Right?
Pretty knotted up most of the day.
No. I'm not stressed out.
But one thing, so there's been a number of things I've done, okay? Yeah. One thing is I've been working with Transcend. Yeah. So I'm using HCG, 25 units twice a week.
Right. Now that'll raise your testosterone by itself.
Yes. I'm using DHEA.
Okay.
I'm using, boron.
Yeah.
But one of the things I have done consistently is use the red light almost every single day.
Yeah.
So I start my morning, again, this is another stress reduction thing that I'm doing right now, is I get in front of my red light, just totally naked. And I sit there and I do like a 10-minute meditation.
Oh, kind of combination.
Yeah, just bring myself down a little bit. Also, sleep is another area I've been really working on.
So your highest levels before were like close to 1,100.
Close to 1,100.
And now since you've been doing this, you just came back.
So I just had a test blood taken on February 23rd. Listen, I just got my results. My testosterone is at 1,381.
Bro. That's more than mine from synthetic testosterone.
Doesn't that make you angry?
And I'm taking a healthy dose, too.
You got so much testosterone. Wow. Can you give us some?
Yeah. Sure. Give me some of your muscle. Dude,
but the red light therapy, I think, made that difference, because that's the one thing that
I would
changed.
Say that's one of the things. And I really have been working on my sleep.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to say, that's the only thing I did.
But they all help each other, though.
They do help each other. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it's just like.
So I've had people send me their numbers from using just the red light, and they'll see a nice 10% to 20% increase.
Oh, I remember I know Ben Greenfield used to talk about it. So did our friend Metabolic Mike. I remember.
Oh, his went up a lot.
He did like a controlled test on himself, right? He literally just, that's all he changed is a variable. And he went,
he just shined directly on his balls.
Yeah, naked in front of it, right? He went from 200 or 300 something to 600 or 800. Yeah. I can't. Yeah, significantly.
People, Justin's not making a joke. That's literally
that's how you do it.
That's what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Well, the red light goes through the body. It affects any cell that it touches. The mitochondria in that cell start to operate better. So if it touches the lighting cells, which are in the testicles, they'll produce more testosterone, more sperm, more whatever. You shine it on your skin, it makes the skin rejuvenate. You shine it on your scalp, you regrow hair, that kind of stuff.
So, seriously,
pretty wild.
I wish Juve would do some sort of a home light system.
What do you mean?
Use their technology and you'd be
sick. A pair of underwear that's got
No. I've told you guys before,
6, 7 p.m. and you flip it.
Yes. I wish I could have it. I wish my whole bathroom was that.
I know.
There's no reason I need regular light in my bathroom.
Totally.
So that every time I get up in the morning, I just hit my light.
It's just there.
Yeah. And I'm showering, I'm brushing my teeth, and I'm just getting it that way.
Wow.
Because the one thing that, if I'm ever inconsistent, it's just having a routine of going
over. Frequency with it wins.
Yeah. As stupid as it may sound, it's I know, to discipline myself, to carve out 10 to 20 minutes to sit in front of it. I've done pretty good. Right now, the new thing I'm doing is Max and I, a lot of times, we take a bath at the same time, right? And afterwards, him and I will all turn it on and sit in front of it. And we play and we mess around and I get dry and just I'm just kind of hanging out in front of it. But that's what I'm doing right now. Then it'll be inconsistent for a while. If it was in my light system to where my bathroom lights were all the infrared lights like that, I would totally pay for that.
Yeah. I'd shower.
That too. I pretty much do that in my bathroom, though. Mine's hanging on my door. And I usually take a shower with that light on only.
So that's what I was doing. So, and I wanted to look up. I don't know if Sal,
how close you have to be.
Well, so I do the meditation right up against the panel.
Yeah.
So that's when it's most effective.
So I have I have a big glass shower, and I had it mounted up outside the shower, shooting through the glass on me.
Yeah, you're probably losing.
I think
you're probably losing.
I gotta be, right? Yeah, it's gotta be through that thick glass. I gotta be. Yeah. I mean, it feels like I'm getting it, but I can't tell, right?
And so you're getting some.
I know better. That's kind of the attitude I had was listen, at least I'm doing, if I was doing, I was doing it every time I took a shower, and I was twice a day, right? Yeah. So I was at least I'm getting the frequency of the red light. But that's what I mean. There's a market there, Juve, if you're listening, to create some sort of home light system.
Their mini, you've seen their mini, little one? Right there. That one. So that one, everybody in my family loves. That's the one, because they put it on their face. I like the fact that it's so
small.
My
sister loves that because she works for the company. She's on the computer. So she just sets it right. She rests it next to her computer screen. Mm-hmm. So it's blasting her in the face while she's working on the computer screen.
Wow.
Yeah. So I think that's a good way to do it.
Hey, I want to ask you, because you brought this up and I said, let's save this for the podcast. Good discussion. You were talking about washing your car and using like a foam. Oh, like
the foam spray.
Oh, yes.
You do the so, whole car yeah, with.
So, and I have an I have a comment on it. First off, talk about this foam thing that you're using. Yeah. So it just sprays foam.
Yeah. So if you ever, I don't even know if you guys have ever paid attention to our car wash guys, right? When they go out there and clean the cars, like they're like the companies that you hire to do that. They have all these toys and I was watching, I'd have them come to my house and do my stuff. And I'd been watching them do mine. I'm like, man, that's sick. Like,
it's like, that. You know, it reminds me of when we saw that guy use lasers in the middle to level everything and like easily hang up.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. These, I was like,
laser levels?
Yes. I had lasers when I was doing construction.
Bro, I was the same. I was the same way too. I've been trying to hang pictures up with freaking rulers and all kinds of crazy.
Exactly where the studs are and everything. Yeah. I'm like, dude.
Yeah. You sit up in the center of the room, mount it. It's like, so yeah, like that. It's like that for car washing. It's, I mean, and what it is. So the part that I like least about washing my own car is the soaping part, is going back to the bucket, doing a panel, back to the bucket, doing a panel. And then it's like, that's taking you 15 minutes just to get that one side of the car. So you don't want it to dry. So you rinse it off and then you start over on the other, and you kind of go do that whole, this thing. It's got a canister that hooks up to the pressure washer. That's got
it
the soap.
It mixes in the soap.
Yeah. And so you literally, like, it looks like you spray paint the car. I mean, you just, and then a thick just coat of all over it. And then you come back and you hit the whole car. So it's like, it saves me so much time. It's, I don't know. There's something about it I like.
Such an old guy conversation. I know. So here's
this is like the barbecue. Yeah, hey, barbecue, barbecue directions.
You guys have found this dad hack. Yeah. It's amazing.
Hey, you know, you know what?
At the hardware store.
I haven't washed my car by myself, like personally. I haven't washed my own car probably for 2 decades.
Wow. Hey.
Easily.
But you
that's
don't even,
one of the first things I outsource is have someone else do it for
me. Because you don't even care, though. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I'll do it. I'll get a good job.
No. I mean, like, you don't even care about cars.
That's what I'm saying. When you wash your car, you're kind of like,
oh, yeah, you know, I'm
into
it.
You talk to your car?
Like, no, I don't talk to it. Hey, baby. But there is something. So, okay, we you know, for the audience, right? So we all get our cars washed.
So clean now.
Okay. We all get our cars washed.
Get that tail.
And I have the car guy come to the house. And I actually, there was a part of me that was missing it. Like I like there's a part
you
that
you missed washing your car?
Yes. Yeah. It's therapeutic for me.
Bro, I do it sometimes with my kids as a chore.
Like on a warm evening.
Yes.
It's so nice to wash your car.
I put my I roll my speakers out.
I cannot connect to this at all.
I roll to my speakers out to the garage or I have headphones on and I go to town, dude. I wash it. It's also escape from the wife. It's
well, like you're not even married, Doug. What are you escaping from?
I'm just out meditating with the so here's my little car wash toy.
Oh, let's hear it.
A leaf blower.
Yeah.
When I get done, dry it with a leaf blower. And then I take a towel and just do the rest of it.
You guys go
gas
crazy.
Powered?
No,
I have electric.
I have electric one. That is a massive hack because one of the other headaches.
I gas power fucking everything now.
Do you really?
Yes.
Hey, one of the other headaches of washing the car is if right after it's all beaded up, if it takes 40 towels because they soak up all the water, or you have to have one of those like you know whatever
ShamWow
type of towels. Or you use a blower and you blow all the heavy water off and then you come back and you touch it.
You are so passionate about this right now.
I am.
I'm so glad I asked you.
I'm into it. He
gets out the Meguiar's wax and
I have it all. Right? And I missed.
You wax your own car?
I missed. Yeah, I have all that. So I missed it. I missed that because we were paying for someone to do it. And obviously there was a nice luxury to having someone do it. And then I'm like, you know what? Like half of the appreciation of me having this machinery that I like, because you know I'm into cars, is just like, I like to take care of my stuff like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
My cars are all like, the only car that's trash, my wife's car.
Stop.
That's the only car that's not.
The mom wagon, dude. It's
oh, got all man.
The wrappers.
And I just let go of caring. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, you know what? Hey,
mom
that's
cars are always
dirty
like
socks and everything.
And in her defense, she's got the little one in her car all the time. I don't have that. So of course, like he's got stuff, but I can't deal with it. Like I have to have my.
I put my son in the back sometimes, and he thinks it's funny to like to hit the controls with his foot in the back. I'm like, son.
You was just a troublemaker, bro.
Oh, he's just
testing all the time.
He finds buttons.
He's like,
this is a button.
Fire, dude.
So you always make fun of me of these types of things. Like, you don't have, like, what are the things that.
What are you trying to say, bro?
Yeah, okay.
You don't know that that's you, Sal?
Yeah. No, not that part. Like, the going back to the car wash thing for me. Like, you got to have some things like that, right? I know Justin's his guitar, right? Justin will go down probably downstairs in his basement for 2 hours by himself.
I didn't want to say it because I'm embarrassed.
Yeah, you got
I want to know. What is it?
Supplements, bro. I'll prepare like my formula for the morning.
No way.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Do you still make up your own versions all the time, concoctions?
Bro. All the time.
With like, because I know you used to order like just this raw material.
Yeah.
And then you'd get it and.
Oh, yeah. I still do that.
So do you.
It's not a good obsession.
Okay. So, okay. Now I'm curious.
So, I'm going to work out tomorrow. And if I get this much sleep, and I'll go stimulant heavy here. Or.
Oh, my God.
I'm
gonna go heavy on the nitric. Of course you do. Why didn't I think of that?
So I'll do the right combo. Oh, I need more of an adaptogen feel for this workout. And so I'll combine. So I'll have like, if you come to my house in the kitchen, because I wake up before Jessica does, right? Yeah. I feed the baby, I'll bring her coffee, and then I take care of our three-year-old. Then she'll come down. I'll typically leave to go work out. And so when you come, you'll see I'll have a little cup prepared with like multiple different types of pills and
coffee. And it changes.
And it changes, yeah.
It's not always the same.
No, there's some certain staples in there.
Of course, like vitamin D and probably some of the staples.
Well, not for pre-workout, but like, you know, caffeine will always be in there in some way, shape, or form. But then there's other things that
Okay, so you have, because I know you also carry your you carry your supplement purse.
See, it's embarrassing.
No, see, you did it to me.
Great. Yeah,
you did it to me here. So, okay, so I know you have
your... This is not like a dysfunctional relationship, bro. I don't know if it actually is it a dysfunctional
relationship. Yeah, I don't know, maybe. That's my wife.
You wash your car twice a day?
We have quite a few cars, you know what I'm saying? So maybe it's a little
never mind.
It's a little dysfunctional.
Okay, all right.
No, so you okay?
He
so
has racing gloves.
So you, yeah,
right. That's pretty.
Who the fuck wears racing gloves?
Maybe it's a little, just a
they're
little.
They're expensive ones.
Just, they were. They're legit.
They're really good ones.
They match the car too. You know what I'm saying? They do. All right. Enough of me. We already did. We already went through me.
All right, you're right.
So you've got. You have that. That's centered around morning workout. But then you also have your man purse here that you carry with all these supplements. Now, do you have those in little pill things, or do you just have it? You know, like because I always see you reach in there and between podcasts, like you're always throwing. Yeah, you are right. Is he not always doing that? Every time I look over, he's fucking taking. Yes. I never really pay attention. Like, what is he taking?
You the combination.
Every once in a while, you throw me one. Hey, take this. I'm like, okay. What are we taking right now?
In between a microwave meal.
Yeah.
The combinations depend on what I'm looking for. So I have certain products, supplements in there, and I'll know like, oh, I want this. I want a little of that, or I'm gonna help.
Oh, interesting. See, I just assume that
it's always the same thing.
Yeah.
No.
Oh. Yeah, because anytime I've tried to be good about
my AI supplements, think of it this way.
Yeah. Are you just like constantly seeking new feelings by doing all this?
Yeah. Or avoiding feelings, Justin, you really want to get deep. That's probably what's happening.
I didn't know it was going to turn.
Oh, my drinks are coming on my nose.
You want to be real honest?
I
want to
know the truth. I forgot my armchair here. I
try to avoid my
feelings. I'm a lot of therapy.
I'm really not the guy to open up to about this.
I started realizing that's what I'm trying to do.
Wow. That's too real.
That's got too real. Honestly, I'm still obsessed with workouts and the stuff that's centered around workouts. So, I told you, I'm working out at a different gym now, and I think about the equipment that they have, and I'm like the combination of them, and I'm gonna do this and that, you know.
So I can connect a little bit to that. Do you remember me when we were meeting when I was training for getting competitive shape? Remember? Yeah. I would meet with him, and I felt like that. Where
he was geeking out on like every new thing.
Yeah, I would come in.
But yours was for a point, like a purpose.
Well, yeah,
mine is for the hell of it. Like, what am I doing? I'm not competing.
I can kind of get it because I understand that the obsession of that and tweaking all that stuff.
Well, we all have that in common.
Look at this vein.
Yeah. Well, all of us kind of have that in common. We have this obsessive side, so we'll get into something. Yeah. I get like that with topics. If I start getting obsessed about a topic. There was a 2-year period where I got into physics. What? Why? I don't know. I just got into physics. And there was another 8-year period I got into economics just for some reason.
Yeah.
And I read these books or whatever. So I can get very obsessive.
Yeah.
For sure. We all have that.
Maybe we all have that.
And I know we were laughing about it, like avoiding or whatever, but is it therapeutic in a sense to you?
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think you get lost in your obsession. And everything else kind of melts away. You guys feel like that, right?
Yep.
It's that when you're like, you're so present because you're in your focus that.
I love that. I think that's such a healthy thing for someone to have. Like, that's why. I mean, what made me re-engage and do this, going full circle, like the car foam talk again, is like, I was losing that. Like, again, I reached a place where I didn't need to wash any of my cars, paying someone else to do it. And then I felt like, man, I was missing out on something. How funny is that? Like, I wanted the labor back.
That's awesome, though.
Right. It's like, hey, I worked really hard to be able to, and it really was that. It was a bit of me, like, being introspective and thinking back to, like, childhood, right? Like, and I try to do this, like, where I have these moments where I just stop when I'm by myself and kind of just trying to be grateful for the work that I get to do, the things that I've caught. I mean, there was a time when I was a 16-year-old boy when I said things like, man, if I could just have that or just do, like, I did it.
Yeah, you have it.
Yeah, I have it. And so, and then what, I outsource cleaning it now? It's like, damn, like that part of that, I remember as a kid thinking about, I would take such good care of it and I would be like thinking, and now I'm like already, you could take care of it. Like, no, like, so there was a part of me that was getting that back.
Doing things for the sake of the enjoyment of doing it, I think is an awesome thing.
Yeah. I had a moment kind of like that, but it was like mainly just watching my son. And I had told you guys a while back, like he had met some of these neighborhood kids and they kind of started their own little group. They call it like the Super Sports Bros, SSB. Oh. And I was like, oh, it's SSB time, you know? And like, so he just reconnected. I think they had like a falling out like months back, but they just got back together. And so, they're back at it. And what's great about it is they're the ones that do the, walkie talkie and then they move one, to one person's house, they play there, they come back like before dinner, you know, when it gets real dark and all the parents are kind of privy to like where they're at and all this kind of stuff. And I sent a video to you guys when, so I, you know, in front of my house, there's this little patch of, you know, like artificial turf. And they just decided to do like a pickup football game. And they did like basketball, they did football, and then they did like tetherball, and like everything was like rough. You know, it was like, and I had a moment where I was like, I was out there, like, ooh, well, because I have these other kids here, like, I don't want anybody to get hurt, and you know, like, kind of coaching them on like how to be careful and this. I'm like, dude, what am I doing? Yeah. You know, like, I didn't have that person there, like, oh, watch out, oh, don't go that hard, oh, no, you're gonna get hurt. Yeah. And I was just like,
let them figure it out.
And so I just started like, cheering for them and stuff. And then I like removed myself and I was just watching from the kitchen, you know, through the window. And it was just amazing to watch them, like, you know, they you know, do something really rough and get kind of hurt, but then like kind of brush it off. And then they're just still cool and nobody's getting upset or angry or anything. Great lessons. Just like, wow, like this still can happen.
I hope you really appreciate, you know, what you have fostered with those boys, because
that's not common,
as a dad who has a young kid right now, who's raising in this time right now, one of my biggest fears is that my son doesn't even want to do those things. Yeah. So I think about that a lot, and you know, you've really fostered that at the house, and to be able to sit back now at the age he's at, where it's not like you had to go tell him, go play football or go do these things. Like, he gravitated towards that. That's such a cool thing.
It's also the group of kids. Like, that's the hard part, dude, is finding kids that your kid jives with that wants to do
Seriously,
that.
Dude.
Yeah. And it's harder these days because when we grew up, we always grew up with neighborhood kids.
Mm-hmm.
Kids now make friends with kids that live far away or
different
whatever.
Schools, everything.
Yeah. It's, so it's really difficult. I mean, when I was a kid, I would just go outside and there were the neighborhood kids. Yeah. Even if they weren't the ones I went to school with, there were always the neighborhood kids that we would, you know, hang out with.
It is different like that for sure. So that's, I mean, I hope you appreciate that. That's a really, cool.
I'm trying to take a moment really to like take it in and be like, yeah, this is great.
You guys remember the games you played growing up. You know, we would play tackle, full tackle football, of course, no pads or nothing. We're just
And it was raining out too, which was like,
boxing. We get boxing gloves and we box each other.
I ruined my first pair. My grandmother in fourth grade bought me my first pair of Jordans, and they weren't even a week old. And I went out and played knee football in the mud and destroyed them. Like, that's what happens when you get a fourth grader shoes like that. They're probably just not ready
now,
for.
Now, did you know what you did when you came home?
That sounds like a.
You know, when I think back to it, like, I remember that whole day. You know what it was? I love those shoes so much.
I wanted
to wear them everywhere.
That's your only thought process.
That's exactly what I thought. It was not like, I need to take care of these. It was like, I love these so much, and I was so proud to have them. I wore them everywhere. Them.
Yeah,
it's like, and then, you know, then you go, and then what I did was I went down the hill. So I lived up on this hill out in the country, and I went down the hill to the neighbor's house, and it was after a super rainy day, all muddy, and we're like, let's play new football. And it was like, yeah, good idea. It wasn't like, I put them on going like, I'm going to go play knee football in my Jordans. You know, it was like, they were my favorite shoes. And then it was far enough away where it didn't even dawn on me, I should probably go back home and put crappier shoes on. It was just did it. And then, of course.
Little kids are like that. It's like, yeah. They'll like something and they'll be like, can I wear this every day?
It makes no sense when I think back to it. Like, what was I thinking? Like,
You were just a kid.
But totally destroyed them.
When Jessica was little, so didn't have a lot of money when she was a kid. And her parents bought her like these like Minnie Mouse, you know, nicer kind of glasses frames.
Mm-hmm.
And she was when she was there as a kid when they were picking them out, and the guy selling them was like, oh, these are really strong frames, you could like stand on these and they wouldn't even break. So when she went to school, she told the kid, she's like, you can stand on these and they won't break. He's like, no, they'll break. And then she goes, no, they won't. So she put them on the floor. The kid stood on and broke her glasses. So she didn't have glasses for a whole year.
Oh, God.
They couldn't afford to buy another broken
Brutal.
Because she
thought, I mean, that is.
That's just what the guy said.
I know. That's like how I think that brain works at that age. You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't even process
it's so
that.
So funny. Yeah. Dude, I got a quote for you,
okay,
Adam, that I want you. I think I thought immediately Adam would like this quote.
Okay.
Plato. Here. You know who Plato was, right?
Yeah, yeah. Philosopher. Let's see if I've heard it.
He who does not desire power is fit to hold it.
Oh, I love mm-hmm. that. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like
that amazing, that wisdom. I mean, we just know.
I mean, we've said that we've talked about this before. I don't know who said it after him about like the ones that should be in power are the ones that don't want it,
yeah.
right? So that's probably derived from that original because he goes back further.
Isn't that interesting? Like the people that like seek it so strongly and make a whole career out of it, there's something wrong with that person that wants that so bad.
It's fundamentally wrong.
We should not let them have it. You know?
You just reminded me of something. Do you know that? Remember, I told you guys that the other day. I actually was going through our YouTube comments, and I tell you not. Like I told you, it ruined my fucking day.
Yeah.
And I told you the whole Gen Cohen thing, and then I saw another comment someone made about. Remember when I brought up that comment about like, what do you guys want to be remembered as a father, or what remembered as when you like die and stuff like that, or whatever? Yeah. Like somebody like talking about how narcissistic I am because I said I want to be a good father. Like,
what is that?
Like fuck you. Like seriously. Like first of all. We don't have a choice. We're known. Wow. Okay. Millions of people listen to this show every single year. So where there's no getting away from being known. So what I want to be known for is being a good dad. Like I'm not like seeking for other, and that's where the way they positioned it was like, they're like, why don't you just go be a good dad instead of like wanting everyone else to know what a good dad you are? Like
you can do both.
Like fuck off, bro. Like dicks. Really? Like that was not the point of the exercise.
That's not the worst comment. The worst comment I ever saw was, one of our old YouTube videos was me demonstrating exercise.
Weak chest.
That's the class. That's what I said.
That's weak chest. That's a funny
come
one.
Come on, man.
That's a funny one. When people
jab working on that forever.
Yeah, that's hella
come
funny.
Come on, bro.
Yeah. But I mean, just toxic place. I tell you what. It's like, man, I can't have a real dialogue with you guys at all without being fucking judged by somebody.
Terrible.
You know what I'm saying? Staying off that fucking
of
thing.
Course,
no more.
Yes.
No more going on that thing. No more.
Hey, I found another cool thing. You guys want to guess what the longest sanctioned fight ever was? Longest boxing match
ever. 20 or 21 rounds. Is that right?
No. What about you? What do you think?
Remember bare knuckle. They went forever.
No, this was 1913. So think of the times.
So this is it to the death. They don't even have. Because there was a point when boxing was like 24 rounds,
hour
right?
fight.
Well, this fight happened in 1913 between Dick Highland and Ray Campbell. It lasted 110 rounds because neither one of them.
Bro, how is that possible?
I'm looking at the picture. I'll send. They'll post it up. You, these guys. I mean,
back and forth.
It was 7 hours and 19 minutes long, and it was declared a no contest. Later changed to a draw because neither one of them.
And they didn't like win any money or anything.
Because it was all like whoever gives up the fights in those days, some of these fights were whoever gets knocked out.
Yeah,
or someone gives up. Right?
So nobody even got paid?
No.
Wow.
Hey, imagine like these guys like tough motherfuckers,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
7 hours?
We are such pussies.
There it is right there. Those two. You gotta do the picture of the actual after the match.
Oh, there's actually a picture.
What was up with the guys holding the hand?
I always like this pose.
Dude. Yeah, like, I like that. Anyway, I'll send you the picture, but their faces are all destroyed.
I have something for you guys in trivia. I came across this. I thought it was really interesting. This is most profit made in a single day by some of the world's largest companies. Any guesses on
Profits or sales?
Profits. Okay.
Wow.
Largest. Yeah. Single. So most profit made in a single day by some of the world's largest companies.
Okay, I'm going to guess one of them is Apple.
Pfizer's vaccine.
Oh, fuck. That's force, isn't it? Okay, so I would.
Yeah, well, that's government.
Damn, that was a good one.
Mandated.
Man. I was going to guess Apple when they released one of their iPhones.
What a great guess. That is number one.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Number one.
iPhone?
It doesn't say that. It just says the profit. So Apple was in a single day, $376.8 million in one day. Profit, right? Number two, Microsoft, $246.2 million in a single day.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. Number three, Google, $238.9 million in a single day. Number four, Meta, okay, Facebook, $175.5 million in a day. Newer company, so NVIDIA, 135.7 million in a day. That's like one of the fastest growing companies right now, by the way.
What's NVIDIA?
What is it? Yeah,
they're all the AI stuff.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe you can look up who is that? Is that a, that's not a Sam Altman, is it also? Amazon, 121.9. Exxon, 111.1. JP Morgan, 100.9. And then Walmart and Visa, company, the same round. 54. I was actually surprised that your Pfizer wasn't up there. I would have guessed.
Well, I don't think I think there's some kind of qualifications at this.
Because they had guarantees.
Because it was,
Yeah, that's a real, I don't know why I didn't even think that that would.
Or be, any pharmaceutical company.
There's none on here. So maybe it was just straight.
Wow. NVIDIA. Oh, it starts with an N. I don't know why I thought it was spelled different.
Yeah.
Okay. Jensen Huang.
But yeah, I heard that about, Apple iPhone for sure. And they still are crazy profitable, right? Like Apple. Every launch.
Yeah. Don't they have the most cash?
Yeah, they have the most cash at anybody. Yeah. They definitely.
I heard that they actually stopped, they halted production on their car.
Yeah, they did.
Yes.
Completely. Yeah.
Yes. Oh, did you hear all the other companies that are, remember I brought up I think it was last year, when all the companies signed those deals that they would guarantee no more, which is why I got into buying the V8s and stuff like that. I told you guys.
Because, they said no more.
Because by 2025, by 2030, all these companies said, no, we won't have any more gas. Yeah. All of them are taking back that.
Really?
Yep. Almost all of them. I think there's only a couple of companies left that are still there was a couple of companies that said they wouldn't even agree to that. And then a lot of the companies that agreed to a cutoff date.
Because it wasn't market driven, was it?
No.
It was all driven by
false
signals.
And they're looking at it. It's just like, it's not adding up.
Did you see anything about the Toyota CEO? Because
Toyota was one of the ones that said they wouldn't do.
Yeah,
that.
He just was like no.
Yeah,
like,
they were one. So that a lot of people,
any production of EV.
Yes.
Yeah.
They were one of the companies that actually saw the writing on the wall from the beginning and said no, we're not agreeing. Which is ironic because they were some of the first to adopt it with the Prius and things like that.
Yes.
So which is makes sense.
Maybe they're in early and they've.
That's
saw
why it. They saw that it's. Like, I mean, listen, how many people did the same thing that I did? Still to this day, when I see
it doesn't math,
it scratches my head.
Yeah.
So when I bought my Corolla back in 2010, I think somewhere around that time, I went the idea of it. I sat down one day, I got my report from Wells Fargo on my gas expenditure. I never paid attention to it. Mm-hmm. And I went, holy, and I was back then I was driving a lifted big old truck, right? Like probably 8 miles to the gallon.
Yeah.
And I was spending $800 a month in gas back then. Mm-hmm. And I sat down and I did the math. Like, okay, how many miles is that based off of 8 miles per gallon? It's like, and then I went, oh, wow. If I drove a car that got 30 miles to the gallon or more 50% of the time, I could afford a $500 car payment and still be saving.
Still save money.
Save money. Yeah. I literally went and bought a car the next day. My thought was, I'm going to go buy a Prius. Because a Prius at that time was 50. They were touting 50, 60 miles a gallon.
Yeah.
And then when I went down to Toyota, the Corolla was like 15 to 20 grand less than what the Prius was.
It didn't add up.
And then it would take 10 years of driving the Prius longer than the Corolla before it made a difference in the payment.
Yeah.
And so I was like, oh, but why
would you have bought like a 1980 something Civic? Those things are crazy.
It's just ironic. Like even the environmental things that they were promoting, it's like you look into it further and it doesn't add up, because what's actually powering these vehicles to recharge them?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's fuel.
Yeah.
It's not batteries, and also how do you discard the batteries?
Yeah.
They're an environmental hazard.
There's a lot of problems.
They're stacking up.
There's a lot of problems.
It's just like whatever we're promoted, it's all like this just
propaganda. Has to be driven by the market and by innovation. And that's just going to solve the problem the best. Otherwise, we're going to be wasting a lot of resources. Yeah. Nuclear.
Plus now you give kill switch to the government.
Did you guys not see that?
Yeah, they passed that.
Did you not see Ford? What?
No.
Oh my God, that was on my notes to bring that up. I can't believe I forgot to add that to the notes. Look up Ford announces. I'll pull up the article right now.
I think I know what you're talking about.
They're the new models that are coming out. So this is how it's going to work. So you miss a payment or something like that, shut off your air conditioning. You don't pay again, shut off.
No way.
Yes, bro.
To the point where they shut it all the way down. Or
yes.
They repo it.
I got it, dude. They can repo it and drive the car back.
You don't say, hey, you know what? This is the deal. People, when you're making a car payment, you don't own the car.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's so people getting pissed off about that. It's just they don't realize you don't own the car.
I'm not.
The bank owns the car.
No. Yeah. That doesn't concern me at all. What concerns me is the.
Yes.
Here it is right here.
The limitations that the government might impose.
Here it is right here.
Yeah.
Your car payment on time. Ford in the process of a patent application vision for self-driving cars to drive away from their owner.
Drive away from them.
Ford's proposal will force the car to drive itself to a repossession agency.
Having the car drive away would be a
last resort. The patent application shows Ford would first pressure delinquent owners by disabling some of the car's features, like the air conditioning or having the audio system play unpleasant sounds.
Torture.
Yeah.
Unpleasant sounds.
How do you like that? Your car tortures you if you don't make the payment.
You're just like, or every 10 seconds, you owe us money.
Yeah.
You owe us money. Dude, it drives away from you. You imagine you pull up, you get out of your car.
Bro, could you imagine? You imagine you're on a date and you get your car? Pay your bill. Yeah. Pay your bill. Bro, how embarrassing you.
Have you ever been that broke? You took a girl out you probably shouldn't have?
Yeah. What? What do you mean?
Has that ever happened to you guys? No.
Has that happened to you?
That happened to me.
What happened?
Oh, yeah. I came back from college.
Did you pretend you forgot your credit card?
Well, I just like, I thought. I didn't like, add up.
She looked at the menu.
Yeah.
You like the hot dog, right? She's like, no, I think I'll take
the steak. Yeah, I didn't add the hot dog. I had missed the payment. Like, I was broke, dude. Like, legit broke. And I just like was trying to like be sly about it. And I had gave her like two cards that declined. Ooh. And then it was so bad. And then she just kind of looked at me. And then I finally got one, like whatever I could scrape off of like these two ATM cards.
I finally
made it happen. And then, you know, try and like act smooth after that and like done. Like
no second date.
No second date.
Yeah, but now look at you, huh?
Yeah.
I bet you regret it now.
Yeah, yeah.
Where are you now?
Isn't that crazy though about that? I mean, we talked about
it. It'll just drive
that
away from you. That's hilarious. It says Ford drops the attempt to patent tech, allowing lenders to remotely meddle with cars. I guess it's not very popular with the consumers. Facing increased increased scrutiny for their data collection and remote access policies for vehicles.
This is different.
This the last cry.
So, like, remember I was telling you guys before that insurance companies now are tapping into this, and it's like if you have all these GPSs on all these cars, you can learn all the behaviors. Like, oh, Sal drives by the 7-Eleven every single morning at 8 a.m. Uh-huh. So you're starting, and with Teslas and things that are all hooked in. Think about how it's going to advertise to you.
Insurance companies too, they were like taking advantage of that, right? They had like a thing you could put on your car to basically show the amount of wear and tear and like how hard you're driving it and all that stuff.
So you deducts, get like a lowered. Yeah. Have you guys not ever noticed how often I use Waze every day because I have to go through traffic. And
is
so
it
I use
Waze or Waze?
Waze, I think.
I used to say Waze and everybody corrected me and said it was Waze.
Okay.
Well, whatever.
I don't know.
I do use it sometimes.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Tomato. So if you, I don't know how often you use it, pay attention next time you use it because it learns all your normal behaviors and figures out, like, before I can even put stuff in, it knows what time I'm driving and knows where I'm going.
Yeah.
So it goes, on your way to work.
So your nitro's ready to start.
And then it hits me on all my, it will advertise to me as I'm driving on the road past like 7-Eleven and stuff like that. It'll pop up with an ad for me to get like, you know, two egg rolls for $2.99 or like that. So it's already, you're already seeing it in apps. They're trying to get it to where the cars, it's all built into the smart car like that to where it'll be able to do that. So yeah, we're not that far away from that happening. But that's what he just pulled up is more related to that than the Ford thing that we first.
Yeah, I don't like, I don't like anyone having the ability to turn my car off.
No.
Ever.
Hell no.
I get it if you don't own your car or whatever, but I don't know. I don't like the government having that power.
That's why I'm going all in on the old cars, the old vehicles, the ones that like manually you can go in there and you could put a new whatever carburetor in there. You can you have some bit of say. Because if you do have any kind of computer, they can hack in.
That's what I'm saying.
It doesn't even matter.
Yeah, if you just have to have like OnStar. If you got OnStar in your car,
they can.
You're susceptible. Because OnStar can shut down your car.
It doesn't exist anymore. Do they still have OnStar?
Yeah.
All
the GM models have it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah. You may not have it activated and you're paying for it, but they have access to it.
It's in there, yeah.
Yeah, if you like, didn't you see, was it Brendan who rolled his whatever, and the OnStar thing started to go off because it recognized that his car flipped and everything like that? Yeah. Yeah, so it's... Even if you're not paying for the service that has all the a la carte stuff on it, they still have a GPS on you and they know where you're at. Yeah.
You know what I forgot to mention is that one thing I have pieced together with the supplements, just going to go back for a second, is the one addition that I've noticed makes a big difference in my workouts is the LMNT. One full packet before I work out.
Okay, so now is that because you're experimenting on that. Is that something that is a consistent
now
thing?
It is. Okay. So I do a full, like a big, like what is that? 16 ounce, 20 ounce thing of water with one packet. And I drink that before my workout. Way better.
Now, I've heard you say too, though, that there's a lot of times that you'll do two a day. Is there
the second one's during the workout?
Now, is that also always, or is that like dependent always. On? Oh, it
no,
is.
It's almost always.
Almost always.
So I go one first, one before, and then one during. But it makes a huge. Just drinking a lot of water before you work out makes a big difference. Adding the sodium made a huge difference.
Yeah,
with the element too.
Yeah. So. Well, I think especially. I mean, the thing that I think I've learned the most about the electrolytes and the sodium and all that with us is that, and I really pieced this together back in the competing days, was that when you eat clean whole foods, and you eat like that. You eat the cleanest out of all of us, probably. And you just don't get that much. You don't get nowhere near what you get when you eat out all the time, like the normal American diet. So it's like when you switch over to dieting and getting in shape.
If you work out, you need to add sodium.
Absolutely, that everybody should probably.
Well, I've noticed even too, because I've been trying to drink more water because I've been getting headaches sometimes, and noticed that if I do add a bit of element T and some sodium, it does help. Actually, reduce my chances.
Have you seen the data on sodium supplementation and migraines? Makes a big difference.
Yeah,
positive one. And you get headaches pretty regularly.
Yeah,
right?
I do.
You get them every week.
Every week I'll get at least one. Yeah.
Wow.
I remember when I pieced that together, and I used to do dill pickles. I used to keep dill pickles in there, and if I started to feel headache coming on, I go crush.
That's the one thing I never get.
Headache?
No, I might get one worse, every man. 5 years.
I do
at the most.
You know what gives them to me is when we're in here for a long time. When we're in here for a long time,
so tension headaches.
That's how I get that. Like,
my teeth are. I mean, there's a whole lot going on here.
Didn't you just chip on your teeth?
Yes, my tooth.
How did you do that?
I have to get fixed. I don't know. Like,
you just woke up.
I don't even know if I'm like sitting and just. I could be doing that.
There's
like,
a good chance. That's
I have
happening.
No idea. Like, you guys don't even tell me nothing. Like, dude, hey, relax.
Bro,
your
if you're
face.
Clenching, I'll tell.
Wait, tell you like, clenching. Say something.
When did you notice when you woke up, or was it like halfway through the day?
No, it was like when I noticed when I felt like a sore on the bottom of my tongue. I was like, ow, what is this? And then I come back, and then there's like. This jagged spot that's literally stabbing my tongue. And so you
swallowed the other piece probably.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. I ate it. And it's probably good for
calcium. Just as that.
Calcium.
Remember Never Ending Story? Rock Monster? You remember that?
That's my favorite. That's my favorite clip that we did about him when we were talking about
that.
Back when I made fun of him is his old teeth. Hey, I don't want to forget. Because I've been meaning to give you a hard time about the Cybertruck.
Yeah.
Right? Because they're all over now. You guys seen them all over?
I've seen a couple of them. They look
uglier in person.
Yeah. They're popping. They are. And you know, do you hear the big pushback right now on them?
What?
Because we just had all this rain that come through. They rust hella easy.
Oh, no.
Because they're steel. And so if you don't pay for it to get wrapped or protected or what like that shit's rusting.
It's bulletproof. And looks rainproof.
Look up Cybertruck and rain. That's all you got to Google. It pops up everywhere.
Oh, no.
Yep.
And I'd be hella mad.
That's a problem. Yeah.
So you have
Didn't they learn that? Didn't DeLorean go through that whole thing? It's like.
So it's.
Wait, isn't it stainless steel? Doesn't stainless steel not rust? Or is it still rust?
Obviously it does.
Finds a way.
Really? Did you pull up? Did you type in what I said?
Yeah. So it seems that they are rusting in the rain, but there's some details here I need to read ahead and see.
Just pull up pictures. There's all kinds of stuff. It's propaganda.
Oh. I mean, the wrapped ones actually look better.
The black wrapped one that I saw looks sick. Cool. Yeah. You know what I like?
So it's an oxidated layer. I don't think it's really rust. It's stainless steel.
Yeah. See?
Yeah, so it's like
all right. Because I feel like
it's like a surface sort of...
So your car just look rusty, but it's not really rusty.
Hey, so I saw one on the freeway. Awesome. Yeah, I saw one on the freeway punch it. First off, it's big. When you see it in person.
They are big. I haven't seen any of them move.
It's a big, tall.
Big. It's big.
Car. Oh, yeah, no, it's big.
Well, like, if that runs into you, you're
it's
gone.
Like, it's like 6 or 8,000 pounds, something like that?
Oh,
that's it's massive.
It's huge, dude.
Yeah.
And so I saw one on the freeway hella big, and then I saw it take off. That thing, man, it moved.
Did you hear the numbers on his next Model S or whatever that's coming out?
No.
Or is it the Model S? He talked about it on Rogan again too.
The coupe,
the new next sport one that he's building. Okay. It's like 0 to 60 in 1.2 seconds.
Wow, that's
gonna and supposedly that's like the least interesting thing about it. It's supposed to be like crazy. I know I think he's been talking about it for like a year or two. It hasn't come out yet.
It's been like 2 years delayed or something, right?
Yeah.
I think I know what you're talking about.
6,600 pounds.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
That's heavy. Yeah. That's heavier than our cars for sure.
Is it?
Yeah. Ours are 62 or 64 or somewhere, something like that. So that's a big heavy car.
Interesting.
But I mean the what I'm seeing is them popping up, and I guess the stainless steel doesn't rust.
By the way, did you guys learn this the other day? Did you know if your company, if you as a company buy or lease a car and it's over, I want to say
6,000 pounds
with someone in there, they even let you add a passenger. If it's over 6,000 pounds, it gets a special deduction.
Yeah.
As a commercial vehicle.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You can do that already.
Yeah. You know that.
I do?
Yeah, you do. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's there how you go. Have one.
Listen, I just show up.
Show up with my supplements.
Yeah. Show up optimized.
Wow.
Who we got? Who we shout out today?
Yeah.
Who we got? Who we gonna send some love to?
Mm. Huh? Justin had somebody.
I did.
I don't know. Oh, I have someone. And you know what? Because Sal hasn't watched it yet, I'm gonna shout it out to our audience. Is Octopus
Murders
on Netflix? Yes. Okay. I tell you what.
We're going to talk about it the next episode. Yes, we're going
to
be in.
You have to watch that this coming week, Sal, because
I'll do my best.
You may catch me wearing a tinfoil hat now.
Really?
Yeah, that's how.
Oh, wow.
It's very
That's
revealing.
How much of an impact it made on me.
Really?
Yeah.
So it's a big deal?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
It's tangible evidence.
Yeah.
Let's just put it out.
All right.
Yeah.
Are you interested in learning more or potentially using peptides, things like BPC-157? Accelerates healing of tissue, including collagen and joint health. Or about TB-500 or thymosin beta, helps with recovery of muscle fibers and other tissues in the body. What about growth hormone releasing peptides? Or how about GLP-1 agonists like semaglutide? You might have heard of it through the brand name Ozempic. There's a lot you can potentially benefit from by using peptides, but you want to go through people who know what they're doing. You want to go through some doctors. By the way, our partners at mphormones.com, they also do hormone therapy, but they also work with pretty much every peptide you can think about. So go to mphormones.com, fill out a questionnaire, work with the doctor, get a prescription, and take your results to the next level. All right, here comes the rest of the show.
First question is from Juice Tasty Soup. What is the best exercise for posture?
Posture. Okay, so someone listening may think there's an obvious answer to that, but the truth is, now, there's exercises that are probably better for most people's posture, which we'll get to. But the truth is, when you're talking about posture, this is an interplay between a lot of different muscles. You have, obviously, the muscles of the back, the muscles, your glutes, which hold you up. You have your hip flexors, which oppose the glutes and keep your pelvis in a nice, you know, position. You have all the muscles of the core. Like, all these muscles have to be in the right balance with the right stability to give you what would be considered good posture. By the way, good posture meaning you hold yourself upright nicely, you feel comfortable, you can move with good mobility. So that can vary from person to person. Mm-hmm. So that's the big answer. Now, the more specific answer, most people, some type of a row probably would help them because most people have forward shoulder.
I was going to say a more generic, broad answer, but pretty applicable to everybody would be the entire posterior
chain. Driven exercise.
Because we're so anteriorly driven, meaning we do everything in front of us, right? Nobody does anything back here, right? Nobody works with their hands or their feet back behind them. And so all those muscles on your backside are just underworked in comparison to the ones in the front. And so basically everything that's part of the posterior chain is going to support your posture
for most people,
right? I think that's a really good, like, if you're a trainer asking this question or you're just a person who's trying to figure out what are some exercises I can do to support my posture, posterior chain movements and rows would be included in that. You know, your there's so many rear delt flies, light leg curls will do that, glute bridges are that, hip thrust, like deadlifts. These are all deadlifts, these are all movements.
And you'll know, by the way, if you do an exercise, first off, doing an exercise doesn't necessarily mean you're going to get the benefits of the exercise. You have to do the exercise properly because you could do a row, for example, to try to get the shoulders to strengthen the muscles that hold the shoulders back.
But stay rolled
forward. But you could do it in a way to where your shoulders stay rolled forward and you actually strengthen the poor posture. So you have to have really good technique. Typically, you want to go light if posturing is an issue for you because otherwise you'll go to your normal recruitment pattern or you'll revert to what your body does best. So go kind of light, get good technique, good form. And then here's a telltale sign that you're doing the right thing. When you do it, stand up.
Yeah.
And I used to do this with clients. I say, stand up. How do you feel? I'd be like, oh my God, I feel so good. You just feel a lot better.
I mean, the closest you are to full extension, I would say, you know, like fully erect posture, the better. And that's the posterior chain exercise can reinforce that in order to kind of keep everything balanced from being over dominant in the front.
One of my favorite tools, I believe we have a YouTube video. I don't know what it's titled. Maybe Andrew can find it, is the PVC pipe.
Oh yeah.
Because using that as a tool, that you went to your point, when you're doing any exercises, learning how to hold yourself upright in that good posture position is half the battle, because you can do movements, to Sal's point, that are designed to support your posture. But if you do them improperly, you just exacerbate the problem.
Yeah,
so you don't even make it any better. And it's supposed to be an exercise. So it's important on how you do the movement that you're in a good position.
Now, I like the PVC pipe too, because it also cues the head.
Yeah.
So one of the areas that people often miss, or trainers miss with their clients, is posture with the head and the top of the spine, the cervical spine. Mm-hmm. So like a good exercise is like giving yourself a double chin, and you'll notice a lot of people has forward head because they're on the computer so much, or because they're on their phones or whatever. That makes a
externally
big...
externally rotated shoulders.
Yes.
Pulling those back.
Makes a big, so the PVC pipe is cool because connects to the skull, then the upper back and the tailbone, and that helps keep everything in line.
Next question is from Jonathan Sosh. What are the benefits of a Renegade Row?
There are distinct benefits to a Renegade Row, but I will say this. Nobody does them for the benefits. No. I've never seen anybody do a Renegade Row...
For anti-rotation.
For the... Yes.
That's it.
Everybody does them because they look cool and hard.
Yeah.
You know, and I think some celebrity did them or something, or, you know, started doing them on social media, and everybody thought this looks like a cool exercise.
You're doing a regular row, check this out. Yeah, it's like, it's not for that. Yeah. At all.
It's not a super great, you know, developer of the back or the biceps or the shoulders or your core. What it does is it works something called anti-rotation. It works on your ability to resist rotation during movement, which is very important for spinal stability, especially for athletes.
Yeah.
So this is, and when you see people do this, it's always to fatigue, and they're always doing it.
Yeah.
Like it's some kind of
you're not
of
set up to do this with heavy weight either, because you just don't have the leverage in that position. So if you're wanting to actually like build muscle, you know, you need to do rows. You need to do things that are actually like, I can actually load this substantially and gain the benefit of that for like a muscle building purpose. But when you're in that position and you're really just considering bracing the core and keeping everything from rotating.
I've never really been a fan of the Renegade Row. Yeah. It's not an exercise I like, because to the point Justin made about anti-rotation.
There's other ways.
I can get great anti-rotation benefits from a regular row.
Sure.
You just keep yourself in a fixed position. There's like two ways to do a row that you see online that some camps think one's right or wrong. It's not. One of them is focused more on anti-rotation. One of them incorporates rotation, right? So the difference is like you'll see someone do a row where they let their shoulders roll forward and they open up and as they're rowing. And then you have other ones that stay in a very fixed position while they do
it. That's the scapula move.
Yeah. Now that's anti-rotation, because you're not allowing yourself to rotate and move, which is the benefits of the Renegade Row. I can load that substantially more because my feet are planted and supported with my knee on the bench. Mm-hmm. And so if I want that, those properties. So I've never really cared for the Renegade Row that much. It's gotten popular, I think, because it's hard.
Yeah. It looks cool.
Yeah. It's hard.
So it burns a lot of calories. Because when you're having to plank out.
There's minimal value to it.
It's actually a really good anti-rotation stability exercise for ground fighters, grapplers, because of the position. Now, it's not an you're not going to develop explosive power with this or lots of strength, but it is a good movement to help develop stability. So when you're in that position, go real slow and controlled. And the idea is to not let your torso move, but row the weight while supporting yourself.
Yeah, I was trying to think of a client who, like, maybe someone who's who loves to do surfing. Who would I have that I would use that exercise over other exercises?
Just like a grappler, maybe a surfer, really it would be, it's just a way to add variety to anti-rotation, because I think there's better exercises for most people.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. I think it's such an overrated move to do. And it doesn't mean that it doesn't have some value and I can't find value. And maybe I would introduce it to a client who I've already done all the other ones with. Yeah. And it's like, hey, here's a cool anti-rotation challenging exercise for you. Mm-hmm. Especially if maybe I've been talking to the client a lot about, you know, pelvic stability, core stability, and teaching them how to do that with other challenging things going on. Like, I can see the value in that. But for the average person, I mean, this is, to me, this is a classic example of like, and when I'm this deep into my exercise library, like we've done a lot of other shit, you know, so we've already covered a lot of the bases. If we're down here, you know, if we're messing with an exercise like this,
you're just really looking for novelty at this point.
If programmed properly, there's some value, but yeah, it's overused because it looks cool to the consumer. And so you see a lot of media, social media, people presenting it as this like great exercise. And then as a consumer, you're looking at, oh my God, that looks crazy. It looks tough.
Yeah.
That's why it got popular.
Next question is from Susie Grace Lopez. What cues would you suggest for dumbbell rows? I feel them in my traps.
Yeah. So two cues I like a lot is take your shoulder blade and put it in your back pocket. So you're squeezing back and down at the same time. And then here's another cue that I learned years ago as a kid, which is pull with your elbow. That one always gave me better connection and my clients better connection to rows, because when I tell people to pull with their elbows, they're less likely to pull all the way back and get this forward shoulder when they're focusing on the elbow.
A couple of things I want to make clear. One, your traps are involved in this. So it's not wrong to feel your traps. But the most common thing when someone feels it more in their traps than anywhere else is they're shrugging up. When you row in, what you're doing is you're doing this.
Yeah.
You're shrugging up. And the cue of retracting and depressing first, which also
tall chest.
Okay, here's an example too of where like this is where like coaching can make all the difference. And like again on the internet, how we that's wrong. This is right. Like if you see me do a row, you see me take the row through full range of motion. I'm gonna flare out my lats, and then I'm gonna come all the way in. You're gonna see all this kind of movement going on. When I first teach a row to a client, I actually keep them in a very fixed, stationary position. I don't want any movement. I actually don't even want them
to
roll.
It's too much for them to control.
You're teaching control first.
Exactly. Yeah. It's too much going on there. I want to teach them in this. They're going to sit in this upright position, retract and depress, like you said, and they're just going to just drive the elbows back. Like you said, squeeze, pinch my finger in your back, squeeze the elbows, and I'm going to keep them in this very fixed position until they learn what they're supposed to be engaging. Then I'm going to progress them to teaching them how to, okay, now that you understand what muscles we're working and engaging, now I'm going to let you take this through full range of motion. And now let's try and stay connected to those muscles while you do that.
By the way, it's easier to learn how to do a row properly in a seated position than it is in a bent over position. So like over
working against gravity,
dumbbell row or barbell row, if you don't have good connection
to brace
to proper really posture, good. It's going to put you in bad position. So I would always start people in a seated chest supported row or a seated cable row before I ever had them do traditional barbell row.
Next question is from Guy Pettigrew. What are your favorite landmine exercises?
Justin, you really
I've been playing with these a lot. Yeah. I mean, the one that we've programmed probably the most is, you know, going to be a trunk twist. And I just like that because there's not a whole lot of devices or exercises out there other than like a medicine ball where you can really get that kind of loaded rotation and the cable, for instance. But just because it kind of takes a lot of the harsh gravitational forces of like the vertical forces down. It has a really nice feel to it. Now, my favorite exercise though, to use these now that I've really been experimenting with, which I wish I would have known before training athletes, was doing power clean or clean and jerk. And it's so explosive, but it has that element of
safety,
control and safety. Yeah. And it's got everything you want as a coach.
And that's because one end of the barbell is anchored into the ground.
Yeah.
So you're not going to lose it. Can't get away from you.
It's not getting away from you. The technique of it, you can learn it in a day. I mean, of course, you're not going to load a lot initially because it is dynamic. It's very dynamic, but you can get that explosive, fast twitch movement in a safe, controlled way, which I love it.
So I love the kneeling shoulder press, which it's similar to like awesome the Viking too. Press. Mm-hmm. And I love the Viking press for my shoulder. I remember when we first found the Viking press, I was like, oh my God, this became one of my favorite movements for the shoulders. And you get that similar feeling in a kneeling position with the shoulder press on the landmine. So that's one of my favorite.
Yeah, I've never trained cleans on it, but just watching it, I can see that the skill acquisition required to develop power from that movement is so much less required than a traditional clean, which is this is a challenge. Like training power, you know, as a trainer, it's important you develop, you strengthen power for anybody. It's just now the challenge is how do I scale this back so that's appropriate for the client? But everybody needs to have an element of being able to explode or change directions because that's just life. That's how life is. Mm-hmm. the challenge with some of the best exercises for that, especially as people progress, is like, okay, now we're going to do a hang clean. Well, it's going to take us 6 months to learn how to do this properly before we can develop power. With the landmine, it's like you said, like, you know, as long as you're fit and there's no major issues, like, you learn the movement and now you can start training power right away. And then you see that you reap the benefits of it. So look, if you're a hard gainer, you have trouble building muscle, you can't put on weight, we have a hard gainer guide and it's totally free. You can get it at mindpumpfree.com. You can also find all of us on social media. Justin is at Mind Pump Justin. I'm at Mind Pump DeStefano, and Adam is at Mind Pump Adam.
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. If your goal is to build and shape your body, dramatically improve your health and energy, and maximize your overall performance, check out our discounted RGB Super Bundle at mindpumpmedia.com. The RGB Super Bundle includes MAPS Anabolic, MAPS Performance, and MAPS Aesthetic, 9 months of phased expert exercise programming designed by Sal, Adam, and Justin to systematically transform the way your body looks, feels, and performs. With detailed workout blueprints and over 200 videos, the RGB Super Bundle is like having Sal, Adam, and Justin as your own personal trainers, but at a fraction of the price. The RGB Super Bundle has a full 30-day money-back guarantee, and you can get it now plus other valuable free resources at mindpumpmedia.com. If you enjoy this show, please share the love by leaving us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes and by introducing Mind Pump to your friends and family. We thank you for your support, and until next time, this is Mind Pump.